Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our studies of the remarkable threes in the Scripture. And we have been considering the Christian's threefold enemy. We started last broadcast, and we considered the world and, indeed, the flesh as our enemies. We have three enemies. They're mentioned in the second chapter of the Ephesian Epistle, verses 1 and 2 and 3, actually, and they are mentioned there as our threefold enemy: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, in deference to those who may not have tuned in on the consideration of the world and the flesh, we're going to give a brief review, and it will probably refresh the minds of those who did listen. Now, the world is our external enemy. He's outside of us. The flesh is the internal enemy. That is that evil nature within us. It is the fifth column. It gives away the fort from within. And that flesh is a very real enemy. The world is a real enemy. If you tuned in on the broadcast, the last broadcast, you appreciate what I'm saying. But today we wish to consider the devil an infernal enemy. He is a spirit. He does not have flesh. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We're told that in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read it, about our warfare that involves Satan. We read there in verse 10 of the sixth chapter of Ephesians, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, we want to consider the opposition that we get from Satan. We know indeed that he's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2:3 tells us that. He's the spirit of the power of the air. And he is a spiritual creature. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, we read these words. "See his efforts, please. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," small g, whom the God of this world, he rules over this world, he controls this world, the other enemy of God, of us, rather, and an enemy of God as well, for that matter, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan does not want people in God's camp. He does not want them in God's heaven. He wants to deceive them. He wants them to follow him. He is the God of the world, and he's after followers. And he keeps people from coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, they don't realize this. It's hard to realize it. But they do not realize that there is a power pitted against them to keep them from Christ. And there is that same power pitted against you and me to keep us from Christ, not to be saved, but to fellowship with him. And certainly he is very, very busy. Now, we're going to consider the nature of Satan. We read in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to 15, we read there of Satan, originally an angel of great beauty. And now these remarks are addressed to the king of Tyrus. But we're going farther than the king of Tyrus. We're going back to the devil that helps the king of Tyrus. And we will see that in just a moment of time. Verse 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the son of full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of God. Well, now, the king of Tyrus was never in Eden, the garden of God, but Satan was. He certainly was. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of the pipes of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Now, the king of Tyrus was never created. He was born. We're going beyond the king of Tyrus, back to the power that motivates him, to Satan himself. And then listen, if you will, please. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walkest up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. But Satan fell. And that fall is recorded for us in the 14th chapter of Isaiah's gospel. I say the gospel of Isaiah. Well, that's not far from the truth, because it does speak so well of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 of the 14th chapter of Isaiah. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What unholy ambitions! Satan was not content with the place that God gave him as a beautiful angel. He wanted to be God himself. And he says here, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. The sides of the pit, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Now they're addressing him through his regent, which is mentioned above. Now, if you please, let's consider the trouble that he gives us. Now, you notice his sin was, I will. Christ was here, and he was just the opposite. We find Christ and Satan opposite of each other. They're opposed to each other. And Christ is we're going to see it in a few moments. Christ is our helper against Satan. Now, he has the power of suggestion. Satan can get to our spirits. We are spirits. Satan can get to us. And he's a dangerous enemy. And he uses the power of suggestion. Now, this can be seen in David, for instance. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1, we read there, And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. He moved David to number Israel. Now, David shouldn't have done this. David got an idea one day. I wonder how strong I am. Where did he get the idea? Satan, who desires power, gave him that suggestion. I want to read this verse again. Listen carefully, if you please. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. David did it and lost 70,000 of his own men. Those men that were his faithful servants, his faithful soldiers. He lost them because he sinned against the Lord, and he had to offer a sacrifice to cover up his sin. Now, there's the case of Judas Iscariot. We read in Luke chapter 22, and verses 2 and 4, there, 2 to 4, and the chief priests and scribes thought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They wanted to kill Christ. Then entered Satan into Judas, named Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and gave him the suggestion of betraying Christ to get some money. Now, I think that Judas reasoned this way. I've seen the Lord walk away from his persecutors. I've seen him escape. You know, I can betray him to these people, and they can't capture him. And they'll pay me to do it, and I'll have the money. Clever, wasn't it? He was a covetous man. Satan put that thought in his mind, just as he provoked David and put that thought in his mind. Now, let's be careful. He doesn't put thoughts in our mind. There is indeed a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read them now. Listen carefully, if you please. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the kingdom of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, it has been well said, when you're in company, watch your tongue. When you're home, watch your temper. When you're alone, watch your thoughts. Satan has access to our mind, and he can suggest things. I hope I'm not frightening you. But he can suggest things. Weigh them. Did you notice what this verse said about that? This portion in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5? I'll read it again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, test your thoughts. Is this in accordance with the will of God? This plan that he's given me, am I following God's plans, or am I following my own? Or, incidentally, am I following Satan's? Okay, now we must be careful of our thoughts. That's his cruel advantage of you and me. Now our help is in the Lord. We read in the Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. The Lord is speaking, and he says to Peter, and the 12 disciples are present. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, Satan was going to tempt Peter to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I've prayed for you, Peter. Does God answer his prayers? Indeed he does. And that thy faith fail not. He knew his faith would not fail. The Lord is praying for us. And I've just read to you the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. When our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, he put Satan to rout by quoting him the Word of God. Measure your thoughts by the Word of God. Are they selfish ambitions like Satan? Or are they for the glory of God? Our Father today, help us to be on guard against Satan. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.